That Great Business Show. Winner, highly commended award, Irish Podcast Awards.
Welcome to episode 177 of That Great Business Show, home of great business tips, insights, and opportunities on every episode, delivered in our commute-friendly package. And it's all thanks to De Facto Shaving Oil. It's the world's best shaving oil, and it's not a beard oil, it's a shaving oil. A couple of drops onto a wet face and you are sorted. Made in Ireland, sold worldwide. It's your ideal travel companion. DeFactoShave.com.
De Facto, the revolutionary shaving oil, changing the face of shaving. For the smoothest shave of your life, just add water. No more lathering up or cleaning up afterward. Just add a few drops of water and you're ready to go. De Facto's blend of all natural oils hydrates and protects your skin. No more razor burns or irritation. A spa treatment for your face. Perfect for all skin types and lasts so much longer than traditional foams or gels. De Facto, a shaving revolution. Just add water. Available from selected pharmacies and from defactoshave.com.
I am Conal O'Mora in Fortister. I am going to call this episode the Dream Edition because everyone in business has a dream. And sometimes that dream is about sitting far, far away, maybe somewhere sunny, where the cost of living along with taxes are low. Which made us wonder, what are the most attractive countries for taxes? And as always, we bring you the answers. We also have a top tip on how to make that dream come closer, as we have a product expert with us who has a top tip. Always a top tip with us for making your business massively more productive. And these two guests, both women, are also a dream team, as the software expert has changed the tax expert's life, allowing her some time off for herself. Time to dream, maybe. Now here, as I said, is a different type of a business story, or should I say two stories. I came across a Waterford woman who does the taxes for many, many expat people. And this made me wonder where the most attractive countries for taxes actually are. And I asked Stephanie Wickham, founder of Expat Taxes, to join us to have the chat about her growing business. And it was in the course of learning about that business that I learned about how Stephanie's business has been transformed by using a simple CRM, or customer relationship management software, that every business should have. Stephanie's CRM system was implemented by another Waterford-based woman, Natalie Garland Cook, founder of NC & Co. So why not find out more by having both women in and see if it's all it's cracked up to be. Stephanie Wickham, Natalie Garland Cook, welcome to That Great Business Show.
Thank you for having us.
Well, when I heard story one was transformed by story two, if story two is so good, maybe we'll get story one to make sure that story two goes expat and lives happily on a sunny island somewhere. Stephanie, first of all, thanks for coming. Tell me about taxes and expat taxes. You may as well get your business out there, first of all.
No problem.
Just what you do and how you do it and how long you've been doing it and all that kind of good stuff.
Yeah, I'll keep it brief. I suppose at a very simple level, we're a tax practice that work with people who are moving to or from Ireland. And we simply solve complex international tax issues for them that stem from the move. So Expat Taxes was born about 4 years ago. The story is that I had left a role that I had been in for about 3 months and started from my kitchen table as my...
You did a runner after 3 months.
Yeah, good question. I decided working as an employee wasn't for me. And
a true entrepreneur. We love them.
Yeah, just in honesty, you know, I think when you talk about entrepreneurs, sometimes we allude to the fact that, you know, it's a lightning bolt moment and you woke up one night and decided you were going to work for yourself. It doesn't always work out like that, does it? For me, it was essentially pre-COVID and I just noticed there was a gap in the market and it was meant to be pocket money. Before I realized it was now it's a business where we employ 6 people across...
And hiring.
Yeah,
better get
hiring.
That out, yeah.
Yeah, definitely hiring. 3 countries and 2 time zones. So it's really grown into something. I think we tapped into a niche that had demand, and it's really worked for us.
And I have deliberately not asked you where the great places for taxes are, because I want to keep people listening. So mm-hmm. somewhere along this little chat, we'll get to that. But they have to keep listening to you.
Of course.
And that is why that gives me the opportunity to go to Natalie. Natalie, you transformed, I am told, by Stephanie's business. How?
Well, I am an independent CRM and ERP consultant.
And that's important, the independence part.
Very important. I'm kind of technology agnostic, really. So I'm passionate about helping small, medium and enterprise businesses in making sure that they make the right selection on a digital journey. A lot of them are digital transformation. However, Steph was right from the beginning. She started digitally. So we put in a simple CRM system that would grow with her. And now it's really a complete ERP and CRM system, which links to the website, which links to all the automations, etc.
And for those, and I'm sure there are tens, if not hundreds of thousands of listeners, who will say, CRM, ERP, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Change my business, make me more profitable. Explain.
Yeah. So CRM, as you mentioned before, customer relationship management, people go, what? Huh? Who? But if you say Salesforce, if you say HubSpot, if you say Pipedrive, if you say Zoho, if you say Microsoft Dynamics, Sugar CRM, people start kind of, oh yeah, Oracle, SAP, these sort of solutions and software that's out there in from small companies to the mega companies. That's what CRM and ERP, enterprise resource planning software, is.
What does ERP do?
Well, ERP, it's sort of more the financial side of it, then usually hooks up into a relationship management part of the software. So really what we're trying to do is make sure that you're on a journey of understanding your customers, your suppliers, your stakeholders across the board. Plus, if Stephanie has gone on holiday, that one of her employees can pick up and literally see what they've been doing with the client. She's gone off quickly for a little flight somewhere. And they can literally pick up and deal with the client as if
it's seamless.
It's seamless, yeah.
And again, the listeners will be saying, but hang on a second now, that's for middle-sized companies. Is it or no? Tiny? One person? Two persons?
Well, I would say if you can start right from the beginning, great, which is what Stephanie did. That doesn't happen. That's very rare, I have to say. And she's my dream client, basically.
I was going to ask you, she's sitting in front of you there, so you have to say that. Really, she was your nightmare.
She actually wasn't. Yeah, she wasn't. That's the annoying thing
about
her
to say that. She's been paid well.
She really did listen to me. And you know what? A lot of people don't. And then they come back to you later and go, I should have done that. But usually
Typically, what are the big problems that people don't do? Or what are the big omissions, I suppose?
I think when you're starting, I've started from scratch as well as an entrepreneur. And I've also been in small companies, been the sales and marketing manager in them. And you know what it's like. You're juggling a million different things. The problem is when you start taking on other people, that's fine at the beginning because you're communicating, you're talking. Usually you're in a small office and everyone knows what everyone's doing. But as you grow, you start duplicating work, triplicating work. You start just doing a lot of stuff that somebody else is doing. If you start with a CRM, which really should be the brain of the business, you're going to stop that straight away. You're going to stop the frustration that employees often have with doing work that somebody else has been doing. So there's so much with it, but usually it's people coming to me when they're growing rapidly and they're in a bit of a panic because they don't have one system. They have siloed themselves into lots of different software that suits sort of certain elements of the business, but they haven't thought of something that's joined up that works all together,
if that makes sense. Give me a case study that you can think of, somebody that you transformed their business. Well, go ahead. She's pointing at Stephanie.
Can I?
Yes, of course you can.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
presume, Stephanie, you don't mind if she discusses your business.
Of course, yeah. And you butt in because, yeah. I mean, obviously, as I've said, Steph did start from the beginning.
Yeah.
Which is amazing because we spent a lot of time thinking of processes right from the outset.
So what does that mean? You sat down with Steph and you went through her process.
Yes.
And then how many people were you employing at that stage, Stephanie?
So just quickly, it was me and then I got pregnant with my third son during COVID. So things got crazy. I took on an assistant and then my husband, who's also a chartered accountant, resigned from his role to come and join us. So all of a sudden we went from it just being little old me to somebody else in a different country and then my husband in the office with me. So it was growing quickly.
It was hell.
It was, to
no,
be honest.
I mean the husband and wife thing.
If he's listening, he can give us his thoughts, phone in. Look, I think as well, you know, to kind of, because obviously Natalie had to kind of convince me that this was something worth doing. Maybe because I was a little bit green to it. But for me, the value was in looking at the processes, the question I always had was, how can we improve customer experience because of this? And I think that's the key, that sometimes when you're looking as an SME owner, you know, you're focusing on making your own life easier, but what if you can make the experience for the client better? And that's what this has achieved for us. You know, we regularly rate really highly with our clients. That's because we're collecting the right information, we're monitoring it, we're tracking it. And it's all made possible because of the work that Natalie did with us at the start.
And typically, what kind of information are you gathering? And how do you use that? How do you apply that to make more profits for the business?
So let me give you two real examples. Firstly, one of the services that we offer is an online tax consultation with a chartered tax advisor. And we're one of the only firms in Ireland that does that at the moment. That's invaluable for our clients who maybe are based in the US or Australia or the UK. We service clients in over 30 countries. So we can meet with them in an online environment. That booking comes in via the website. We are paid instantly. It updates our calendar instantly. They are then, via workflows at the back end of the system, prompted to provide information that we as advisors need to get. So, for example, we need to verify their identity for anti-money laundering. Now, if you stand back and look at that, in old school or old money, that would have been an assistant with a typewriter sending a letter and trying to make a diary appointment. So instantly, you have taken away the individual while making the client feel that they're still getting a personal service, and it's being automated all from one central interface. That's really powerful. And that's one part of it. The next step is then the client has a consultation, they get some fantastic advice, they save lots of money, they need a tax return. Now, looking inside the tax return process, it looks like a tax return is just a form. And I think my husband, who works in the compliance side of the business, said he counted that there can sometimes be nearly 50 interactions with the client before we get to the final process. I mean, that's an extreme case. Think about how each of those interactions needs to be monitored and managed. And the CRM is helping you do that. Because what we need as tax advisors, particularly when we're working in the compliance space, is real data quickly. Because nobody wants to wait to hear what their tax bill is. They want to have control over it. So really, what does that look like? For us, it allows us to have very productive meetings once a week where we have a really good snapshot of what's in-house. I've worked in big four firms where they have struggled with this. The volume of information that we deal with is vast. And this relatively simple CRM helps us do it. In honesty, the testament to it is that we now are being approached by accountants and tax advisors who are asking us to help them replicate the system that we have built with Natalie's help. So it shouldn't be underestimated. This puts money in our pockets and time back in our calendar.
Well, I'm delighted that you said putting money in your pocket, because obviously this has a cost. How much do these systems cost?
Well, depending on what CRM you go for, it's from, like, you know, 45 euro per user per month up to 250 euro per user per month, and even maybe more than that.
And what would the difference be between, say, 45 and 250?
Depending, a lot of it's the platform. So if you go for a platform like Soho, which is known as an SME and lower cost CRM and ERP system, however, it's copying the big boys. So it's doing a very good job. But then you're talking about then the Salesforces and the HubSpots, which are also absolutely phenomenal. Can't say that word. And, top, you know, tip top. But you're paying the big bucks for them then. And usually then also consultants. So I would help clients ensure that they're getting the best CRM that suits their requirements. Because there's not one CRM that fits all, really. I mean, the one that says they do, Dynamics and Salesforce, they do, but there's a lot of plugins and all sorts of stuff for that. And it costs heavily. And I'm not putting them down because they are needed in big enterprise companies. But for smaller companies, you don't often need to spend as much money as you possibly think you do.
And a cost-benefit analysis, have you ever done that? So say, take a number that you are spending 70 quid a month per person to get a really good system. And the kind of savings, did you ever measure savings for anybody, or have you ever looked at?
We've done a little bit of measurement on Stephanie's, and then on my on a company I used to work with before I set out on my own, I was the sales and marketing manager. I've been going back years in a couple of different companies, but in the previous company that I was working with before I set up on my own, we didn't have a CRM system when I walked into that job. And we were delivering to high-end niche equipment to pharmaceuticals. And I had come from a place where we use CRM. I mean, it was literally my brain. I couldn't live without it to come into nothing. So I measured that. It was one of my projects, was I implemented that within the first year, and our sales increased by 70%.
70. In case there's any misunderstanding.
Yeah.
That's the sales increases, but then can you cut numbers as well, as in, we've already talked about sending out letters, etc. That all disappears.
Mm.
So people go off and do something more productive. Have you ever measured what it might have cost you in terms of humans or...
I think that's a very good question, and it's maybe not the easiest one to answer because I think it depends on the task. Let me give you an example of something that actually blew my husband's mind the other day. So he's trained as a chartered accountant. He's worked in commercial roles in big multinationals. We had to send out a tax questionnaire to over 120 people. And he said to me, can you come and help me do this? So we had, obviously, the fields in the CRM were correctly populated. That's key. Your data, the output is as good as what you put in.
But that's your work now, is it? Or is that done by the software?
That is, it's the team's work. So I suppose it's like any data set, you know, rubbish in, rubbish out.
Yeah.
So it is important that there's a commitment across the team. Bear in mind, we advertise ourselves as an online digital practice. We recruit people who are, I've got one team member who I'll actually mention, Fergal. He's excellent. All the team are excellent with process, but he's very process driven. So as a team, we are very focused on what can we do better? How can we make this better? We had to send this email. I said to Brian, watch this. Literally, it took us 15 seconds to send an email to 120 people. Not only was the email sent, as soon as they clicked it, another field in the CRM was going to update so we could see that they'd read the email. And in addition to that, the system was set to send an automatic reminder 7 days after they've opened the email. And that would take however many hours if you were sitting trying to do it yourself. So that's a simple mail merge example. But the point is, I would quantify the cost saving there to be in the region of probably €1,000 for that one engagement that happens once a year, and that happens numerous times. So I think it's difficult depending on the task. For us, the business has grown exponentially by over 400% in the last 4 years. And I do really put that down to the commitment that we've had to process improvement and the solid foundation from which we've grown. And I genuinely mean that. I've worked in big four large multinational companies. It's easy to take for granted that even the big boys don't do this. You know, that's easy to take for granted. So think big, even though you're small, and you really will reap the rewards.
Do these systems help on sales at all? Sales leads and stuff like that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. CRM actually was built with that intentionally back in the 80s and 90s. It was developed, Goldmine Act, where some of the ones, maybe some of the people who've been in sales for years will know, like myself. Yeah, totally. Pipeline driven, lead driven, you know, opportunities, what percentage are they in at a specific stage? That is the core of CRM. But obviously it's developed and grown. They're all on their cloud-based, a lot of them now, and they're given so much more. They're not just customer-centric, although that's still at the heart, but they are managing all these other things and supporting the internal teams. And why I love talking about Stephanie and Expectasis is because they were really committed to the process of it, because it's still work to do. Do you know, like, I can come in and say this will work. We've got to still design a system that's going to work for that particular industry. And some people want to just magic wand it all to happen within a day, and
you're
that doesn't happen.
I'm
talking about a lot of my clients who just think, yeah, that's what I want, then do that, you know, but they have to put the work in, like,
okay,
rubbish
well that's
in, rubbish
really
out.
Fair, is yeah. that a fair warning, is yeah. you can put your money in, but then you have to put some work into
you
it as well.
You have to put some work in, yeah.
But it's obviously the future. Now, what businesses or industries or sectors is it absolutely ideal for? We've obviously heard the financial end. What other ones are taking it up in a big way in the small SMEs now?
Well, obviously CRM covers all sectors, and it's always out there, from banks to, you know, whatever, health and wellness. I tend to be doing a lot of work in the engineering space and have put in a number of different CRM systems that supported them on their project. So lots of different types of engineering companies as well, construction engineering like Kirby. The Kirby Group are one of the largest electronic construction companies in Ireland, and they're working a lot with data centres at the moment. And then I've worked with a couple of really cool small startups that have been EI-backed that are now just phenomenal. They're growing massively, like ARQ in Cork, PlantQuest in Waterford.
What sectors are they in?
They are engineering.
Again?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But again, they're digitally bringing something new to the world within engineering.
You mentioned Stephanie's electric car earlier. One of the concerns about anybody buying an electric car at the moment is that, oh, listen, next year it's going to be even better. The distance it'll go will double up or something. Mm. CRMs presumably are certainly in the middle of the whole AI area. Therefore, to commit now, is that, can you fix it once it's in, or can
upgrade? Yeah, because it's growing with you. It's growing. So that's one good thing about if you go with these big boys, with the, you know, with HubSpot, with Salesforce, with Zoho, with Dynamics, there, as they provide you with the updates as they're going. Now, sometimes I get a bit frustrated because they don't tell you about the updates and something can switch off in the background and there's a bit of work. But usually, yeah, no. AI is humongous, a little bit scary. It's so smart. But there, with CRM, it's still early days, but I envision within a few years that we will be talking to it and telling it what to do in our cars and stuff.
Yeah. I love the idea of that.
Yeah.
You know what? We're going to take a quick break because we are commercially driven ourselves, so we better have a word from our advertisers.
That great business show.
Defacto, the revolutionary shaving oil, changing the face of shaving. For the smoothest shave of your life, just add water. No more lathering up or cleaning up afterward. Just add a few drops of water and you're ready to go. Defacto's blend of all natural oils hydrates and protects your skin. No more razor burns or irritation. A spa treatment for your face. Perfect for all skin types and lasts so much longer than traditional foams or gels. Defacto, a shaving revolution. Just add water. Available from selected pharmacies and from defactoshave.com.
That great business show. Winner, highly commended award. Irish Podcast Awards.
And I am here with Stephanie Wickham, who is the founder of expattaxes.ie, and Natalie Garland Cook, that's a great name, founder of NC and Co. And we are talking, we're going to get to the meat now, Stephanie, where this is what everybody's waiting for.
Yeah.
The tax places that we should all know about. In other words, where should I go if I have a few quid that I don't have to pay a lot of tax, but it's still doable?
I don't know if you're going to love this answer, but I'm going to give you the honest one. It depends. It depends on lots of things. So I think what we've seen post-COVID is a shift in maybe the questions that people ask. During COVID, it became very common for people to work remotely for their employer. And that forms a big cohort of people that we would work with. So a lot of clients from the US who maybe have decided to come to Ireland and work remotely for their US employer. And then equally from that, we have a lot of Irish-based employees who've decided to go and maybe live and work in places like Portugal. Portugal is a very popular place for Irish people to go. And there can be some really nice tax outcomes. There's a regime that we're quite familiar with because we work quite closely with a Portuguese tax advisor. It was changed recently. It's not as favourable as it was.
It changed at the beginning of the year, if I'm right, because there was a change of government, if I remember.
There was, and it caught everybody by surprise. So the non-habitual residency scheme is what it's called, NHR for anybody who wants to Google it. And that scheme is designed to incentivise people who want to go and live and work in Portugal if they meet certain conditions.
And I want to cut across you there, because you are in this business, and I listen and watch people who don't know a lot about business, but who do not seem to realise that people, many hundreds, thousands of people move around because we now can. Mm. And they will work remotely and they will move for tax, favourable tax treatment. You're looking as if I have revealed something there. No, you're just saying, yeah. I mean, grow up, find out. Yeah.
100%. And I think when we work with clients, so obviously we would advise on the Irish consequences. And usually the question comes, is it possible for me to leave the Irish tax system legitimately? What does that look like? How long do I need to be gone for? I think it's quite important and are usually, you know, explain to clients, this is not necessarily going to be a quick 4 month, 5 month period you're going to spend in a sunny destination and all your tax problems are gone away. It's more complicated than that. I think the first question we would normally ask is, where would you like to go? So where we see people...
Sunshine.
I know Portugal is a very popular one and has the NHR scheme. We've got clients who might go to Spain. Italy has some preferable tax treatment, as far as I'm aware. Some of the Eastern European countries. And then what's quite common, the two main places for us would be Portugal and then the Middle East. So the UAE, it's no surprise. It's tax-free currently for individuals. A lot of Irish might go over there to set up a business, work for there for a period of time. And it's interesting because oftentimes at the moment, I get a lot of questions from clients, usually two cohorts. The first are a subset who have built up successful Irish businesses and have decided that they're going to retire and they'd like to do so overseas. The second cohort are the people who can't get on to the housing market in Ireland because it's in the too hard basket. Let's go overseas, work for 3 or 4 years, come back with a nice amount of money that we can now buy a house outright. And, you know, there's outliers from those two groups, but there's generally that cohort. And the planning for both those groups can look quite different. The revenue commissioners are a smart bunch of people, and the legislation is drafted in such a way as to ensure that there is definitely a breaking of a connection with Ireland to achieve these things. It has to be done in quite a specific way. You know, it's, if I had a euro for every time someone says to me, oh, but I'm not a resident of Ireland unless I have 183 days, without getting overly technical, residency is measured by that test. Yes. But it's also measured with reference to 280 days over the course of 2 years. And therefore,
sorry, what does that mean now?
In simple English, basically 4.5 months this year, 4.5 months next year would be enough to make you a resident of Ireland next year. In addition to that...
To make you a non-resident or a resident?
Resident.
Okay.
See, so instantly now you say to me, I'm going to leave Ireland in October. And now let's count the days next year. Well, you've already got 280 days next year. Now, there's a workaround where if you have less than 30 days in the country, you can't be resident. But my point is not to necessarily educate listeners how to plan for their residency, because that should always be done in conjunction with a qualified advisor. The point is this, it needs to be done with an eye on the detail, because that's where the planning comes in. So a lot of these schemes, I mean, I did some work with a client recently who we went through a lot of detailed work and then he just decided this is difficult. It's not for me.
Why?
For him, it was down to the corporate structure he had. Breaking the link with Ireland was not possible for him. And there was some structuring that had been done previously that we were going to have to unwind. It wasn't giving him the tax outcome he'd anticipated. So I think oftentimes, because, you know, I'm ambitiously lazy, we all like to distill things into simple terms. Clients want you to give it to them between the eyes. And we try to do that. So our tagline is complex taxes explained simply. But we should never underestimate the value of painting a picture. And I know we were chatting previously and I was saying to you that, you know, one of the things I try to do, having spoken to over 2,000 people now on their taxes in, you know, a raft of different types of scenarios, is what are you trying to achieve? You know, I could put an extra 15,000 euro in your pocket, but is that worth not being able to come back and see your granny at Christmas for the next 3 years? And often when you start asking people questions like that, they go, oh, okay, yeah, this is a life decision I'm making. There's tax benefits. But am I willing to actually take action? Sometimes they are and it works fantastically. And we've seen some fantastic tax outcomes where people can decide they want to live overseas and there could well be a positive tax outcome that goes with it if they're aware of their ability to take advantage of those.
And one of the things that people will want if they're parents is to educate their kids in Ireland. Mm. And is that possible to do while you're still living offshore?
Oh, I'm not too sure how many digital online schools there are. No,
you understand what I'm saying? Once the kids are here, daddy or mammy are still deemed to be offshore if they're over in Portugal or something, are they? Mm.
Well, I suppose where we would see it is families leaving. So I think as well, where we do run into problems is, without getting overly technical on it, is, you know, people will say, I had a call with a client the other day and they wanted to spend winter in Portugal, summer in Ireland. And we just weren't getting to the tax outcomes that they wanted because they weren't gone from Ireland for long enough. They had too much of a connection here. So the tax treaties are, you know, there's lots of fallacies. Oh, you can only pay tax in one place. That's not correct. You can only be tax resident in one country. That's not correct. It really is down to the circumstances. But look, we've seen successful Irish entrepreneurs who have their own companies leave Ireland, you know, liquidate an Irish company, set up business outside of Ireland and potentially run an international or global business outside of Ireland. Equally, we have lots of clients who are moving to Ireland.
Now, tell me about them. This is kind of not news to me, but it's interesting.
Oh, looked at the CSO website, 141,000 people moved to Ireland last year. We are in a net immigration position overall. And I love working with these clients because we have a podcast ourselves, which we interviewed.
Called, you better share it.
Yeah, Tax Bites for Expats, where we talk about tax topics, but we also talk to people about the story because everybody has a story. And a lot of US individuals in particular, and UK to some extent, they have a connection to Ireland, even if they weren't born and raised here. They come to Ireland with overseas pensions, overseas investments. They have a lot of cash most of the time because maybe they're at a stage of life where they've built it up. And they want to live in Ireland because this is where they see themselves, but they need to navigate, well, how do the revenue commissioners view that? So we work with a lot of those individuals to help them come and live in Ireland, have the lifestyle they want without the nasty tax cost at the end of it. And I can't stress enough how the tax can bite if it's not done properly. So it's really important that they take advice at the right time in that journey.
And coming from, say, the States to here, what about all the citizenships or all those kind of issues? Is that all very complicated or...?
That's a really good question. So I suppose from a tax perspective, the difficulty for a US citizen, and you don't need to educate most of them because they're very aware of this, is that as US citizens, they're taxed on worldwide income, regardless of where they are in the world.
By the States.
Correct. In honesty, that really causes many issues from an Irish tax perspective, because when they're living and working here, they usually end up paying Irish taxes. I explain it to people like this. If you've got €100, and you're a US citizen, chances are that your overall tax rate, if you're in Ireland, is going to be, let's say, 30% for the sake of the discussion. The IRS might take 10% of it and the revenue commissioners are going to take a remaining 20. You've walked away from the transaction having lost 30. You don't really care which government gets it. That's not exactly how it works in every case, but it's a good analogy. So from a tax perspective, the citizenship bites like that. I think your question is also in the nature of immigration. Yes. So again, the area we work in, while niche, is of itself segmented. We don't provide immigration advice. A lot of US clients, they can apply for citizenship maybe because they're married to an Irish person or they have a descendant who is Irish.
The granny rule, isn't it?
The granny rule, yeah. But we love working with US, and we have a lot of UK clients, Australia, and lots in between.
Now, I did say this is the dream edition because if you want to dream about going to somewhere and... sitting on a lovely beach or whatever, you need a load of cash though. Sorry, you need there's no point trying to do this on 50 grand a year, is there? When does it really kick in to make sense?
You see, if we were having a consult, I would say to you, why, you know, what's your driver here? And, you know, if you said to me, well, I've dreamt of this all my life.
Well, that's a different thing. Okay, that's hard.
But exactly.
Well, about the head, when it's actually cash notes.
Okay, well, let's put it this way. Okay, so let's say, so my first question is, where does the 50K come from? And then you say, well, it comes from perhaps an employment with an Irish company or a foreign company, doesn't really matter. And then we say, okay, well, non-residency for you could be triggered because you've had X number of days outside of the country. And you say, that's perfect. I'm not going to be a resident. And then there's an Irish tax, is a piece of legislation, Section 821 of the Tax Act, that says that if you're a non-resident, that employment income is not taxable in Ireland insofar as you don't perform any of the work here. Now that's game changing because all of a sudden you've just gone from probably a 15% tax rate on 50K, depending on your tax credits, to zero from an Irish perspective. Now the corollary of that is, what's the tax rate in the jurisdiction you go to? And this is where oftentimes, and people will contact us and say, can you give me the Irish and the US advice? And unfortunately the answer is no. I'm not really aware of very many people globally who specialize in two jurisdictions. Why? Well, you'd be a busy person trying to study a second. And as well as that, there's just so many different nuances. So there's always somebody on the other side to answer the question about, well, if you're going to, let's say, you know, Kiribati and there's a 0% tax rate there, you're happy. If you go to somewhere like Norway, where social insurances and income tax is higher, well, now your move hasn't been tax efficient. So it's about an aligned approach and trying to figure out whether or not you really want to live in Norway and is it worth it for the amount of money you're going to save, if any at all.
And here's a loaded question. Have you considered doing this yourself?
It's a very loaded question. We are going to do it. So we are going to go to Thailand for 2 months. And, you know, I think as an entrepreneur, you put a lot into your business, don't you? You really do. And just to kind of hark back to what Natalie was saying, we now have an online practice. We're digital, we're remote. And if we hadn't implemented this system I don't think we'd be able to go to Thailand. So there are tax advantages to going to some jurisdictions, Thailand being one of them.
Come on, spill the beans.
Well, I suppose one of the commonly missed reliefs that clients are very happy to hear about is foreign earnings deduction. For anybody who wants to do some research themselves, always recommend you do it in conjunction with a suitably qualified advisor. Please Google TDM, foreign earnings deduction, and you'll find revenues guidance notes, which set out in certain circumstances when an employee goes to work in certain countries, there can be a nice little tax saving to be had depending on the number of days you have in that location.
And when you're talking about revenue, you're talking about our revenue.
Our revenue commissioners. Yeah. Because, you know, think about taxes. We were talking about this earlier. Ireland is a poster child for low corporate tax rate, but there's no one writing articles about how good the income tax rate's here. We all know, looking at our payslip, that the revenue commissioners take a fairly big slice of the pie. So income tax efficiency is usually first and foremost in most entrepreneurs' mind. How can I pay less tax? There's lots of ways as you can do it and you don't have to leave the island. But if you're willing to go and work and live overseas, there can be other ways to do it and achieve a nice little outcome.
And when or how did you decide on Thailand? Obviously, there are the benefits, but you also have to go there, set up there, work for 8 weeks or whatever long you're going to be there. And you've got kids, remember?
I've got three young children. Yeah. I relocated with my husband to Australia in 2011 and worked for KPMG in their global mobility sector. And on the way, we spent 4 months backpacking around Asia. We spent time in Thailand and it struck me as a place with a very good healthcare system. So I know it's a boring answer, but it was the healthcare system that I thought if anything happens with the kids, we're in a country where we can go to a hospital and they'll get good care compared to other countries on the list. Maybe in sub-Saharan Africa, you know, no disrespect to them, but perhaps the healthcare system wouldn't have been what we needed in the event of an emergency. So
this is great advice. I'm going to stay here now.
Great, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. There's a couple of hundred thousand quid worth of advice in here.
I know. I'll send you my invoice afterwards.
So it is doable.
Very.
And you should really have the chat about it because you don't need a wad of cash, you've just told me.
You don't. And you know, just remember, even if people are listening to this and they have no intention of getting on the plane, Revenue right now are actually campaigning to incentivize pay-as-you-earn employees to go and claim their tax credits.
That's right, like, I saw that.
You know, very simply, how many rent tax credits are left on the table? How many medical insurance tax credits do people not claim? Home care tax credits? We generally can save our clients, you know, 3,000 or 4,000 euro in most instances, just by a quick chat and incentivizing them to take action. It's really worth it.
Natalie, you're on to Steph almost every day, I would imagine. How come you haven't moved off again?
I need to, actually. I was just thinking, why am I not going to Thailand this summer?
Maybe we can go off together.
There you go. We'll go and take over the world in Thailand.
Why not?
Tax and CRM.
Sounds good to me.
We have a final question that you're all aware of.
Yes.
Because we made sure. And I'll start with you, Natalie. Is who would you hire in a heartbeat?
Okay, well, when I was thinking about this, I have four people that I know of that I worked with over the years that I would hire in a heartbeat. I don't want to say their names because I don't want to embarrass all the other beautiful people that I've worked with over the years.
But there are four people who are your key players.
No, but I just can't. But they know who they are and I'm going to give them a text as well. But my
She's
ideal.
She's going to send a text to 20 people
ideal.
Now.
I hope I get a text.
Um, 21.
But yeah, I was thinking about this. Actually, it would be Aisling B.
Aisling B.
Now, she would have not one iota of an interest in coming into a business. However,
because
she is my ideal. She
busy
is
busy as a
comedian,
B.
actress.
Oh my Jesus! Work with me. Work with me. Work with me.
That was dad joke. I'm really sorry.
She is busy and she's amazing. But I actually think, you know, she can put her mind to anything. Plus, you'd just have great crack, wouldn't you, working with her?
Well, that's the point, isn't it? A few people have said comedians, and I kind of agree. I mean, if you are going to have to work, you may as well have a laugh.
Yeah, absolutely. But she's
got
that intelligence.
Her, how are you going to get on a tour?
How will I get to her? Yeah. Well, I'm hoping you'll tag her at
we
the end of this.
We will, of course, tag her. And we'll make sure that she hears from you. And she'll probably give you a buzz.
Oh, well.
Buzz, B.
Oh, I like
zingers,
it.
That was
really good. That was better. I like that.
And what about you, Stephanie? Who would you hire in a heartbeat?
That's a really hard question, isn't it? I thought about this over the weekend and I really...
You changed your mind as well.
I did, didn't I? I'm not... Yeah.
That's why I was sure that you had heard.
Yeah. Mary Portis.
She's brilliant.
The Queen of Shops.
Yep.
Love her.
You know what, Pity? She used to be on TV an awful lot and she made an awful lot of sense when she was teaching people about retail.
Yeah.
And then she was... Well, she's no longer on TV that I'm aware of.
I don't think she is. I know she's still active and she has an agency. You know, what I love about her is transformation is her signature move. And I love that. And, you know, coming back to what I said, for me, what's been really important about this journey in the business is focusing on what the client wants. Because, you know, we can sit all day and talk about the technical, we can talk about how we do it. But if you're not meeting the need of the client in the way that they want, you've failed. And I think that she would fit right in because she's a mover and shaker and she knows nothing about tax. She's a retail expert. I don't have a window display, but she'd make it pretty if I did. I'd love her. I'd love her in the business.
I'd love if she gave you a buzz and said, I know what all about tax. Oh. I bet you she's a smart cookie. Oh, she probably knows a lot about tax.
I'm sure she does. If she's listening, we are hiring. I'd overlook the fact that you need to be tax qualified.
That's lovely. I'd love to have a chat with her because any time I've ever seen her, she really is just top of the game. Guess what? That's the end.
Aww.
I'm sorry about that. That was a lovely chat.
Brilliant. Thank you, Conal.
But best of luck to both of you. And listen, if you need a bike carrier, I know that Natalie's
going to... No, I'm doing that.
Well, I'll do. I'll flap the wings or something.
Both come and visit me in Costa Rica.
Okay, that sounds absolutely gorgeous and great advice. Thank you. And thank you so much again also, Natalie. Natalie Garland Cook. Great name.
So, thank you very much.
Of NC and Co.
Co, yeah.
That'll be... Natalie Cook and Co. Really,
consulting.
And for if you want Stephanie and Stephanie's advice, go to expattaxes.ie.
Yes, you'll find us there.
Yeah, fantastic, lovely, love that. Thank you so much.
De Facto, the revolutionary shaving oil, changing the face of shaving. For the smoothest shave of your life, just add water. No more lathering up or cleaning up afterward. Just add a few drops of water, and you're ready to go. De Facto's blend of all natural oils hydrates and protects your skin. No more razor burns or irritation. A spa treatment for your face. Perfect for all skin types and lasts so much longer than traditional foams or gels. De Facto, a shaving revolution. Just add water. Available from selected pharmacies and from defactoshave.com.
It's all go, let Chrissy know on thatgreatbusinessshow.com. That great business.
That is it from episode 177 of That Great Business Show. Great business insights. We've just heard them. And inspiration, I hope so. All thanks to our lovely sponsor, De Facto Shaving Oil, used by...
My husband. And he loves it. He actually was saying what a great product it is. So
well, there you go now. Yeah. I'm not the only one. It says here, that's the world's best shaving oil. But I know. Because I use it,
and go.
I wouldn't use any other.
I thought you looked really clean-shaven.
So do remember, please, please sign up for email updates and we will send you your own personal copy of the podcast at thatgreatbusinessshow.com and do share us, like us and give us 5-star reviews and repost us on LinkedIn. This is really one of my things at the moment, the reposting. Everybody will give me a big thank you and a like and everything else. The reposting is what it's all about. It really does help. Please advertise with us on That Great Business Show to engage with our incredible audience of entrepreneurs. You've just heard them. Business owners. You've just heard them. Investors. Anybody who just loves business. We love them. And we record here at the Dublin South Podcast Studios, where today's studio engineer is Laugh a Minute Alison O'Dwyer. She sits on the other side, laughing her head off. I don't know. Is it at me or with me? I hope it's with me. Later, the dynamic duo of studio manager Peter Rice and post-production engineer Neil Horner ensure we are and we remain the world's best-sending business podcast. So from me, Conal Moran, buíochas to you all, agus slán tamall.